for us. And if he really is all that I need, then the only logical thing is to decide to follow him. Not turn back, not turn away, not step aside, not go back to the old way of living. If Christ is enough for me, then there's nothing else to do but to follow. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Psalm 119, we're still in our journey through this beautiful psalm, talking about the beauty, the attributes, the sufficiency, the necessity, the power of the Word of God that enables us, that introduces us to Him, the sufficiency of God and His Christ, and enables us to follow Him faithfully. And we've been in this journey as we walk through the different aspects of Psalm 119, as the psalmist writes about the benefits of the Word of God and why he is so in love with the Word of God, why he is so enamored and just enraptured by the Word of God. He has discovered that God is faithful, and that God is true, and that when we live according to His Word, He cannot be unfaithful to His Word. He cannot lie. He cannot change His mind. He will keep His Word. He will be faithful to what He's said, He'll be faithful to His character. And so the Word of God presents His promises to us. It presents His character to us. It presents His heart to us. And so the psalmist has just fell in love with the Word of God because it represents, it demonstrates, it reveals God Himself to us. And so you and I, if we want to know God, if we want to honor God, if we want to follow God, if we have chosen to follow Christ and not turn back, then we have to fall in love with the Word of God. And we need to grow deeper and deeper in our understanding and our devotion to that Word. And He gives us all kinds of reasons as we walk through these different sections of the psalm. He gives us all kinds of reasons why He's enraptured by the Word of God and why we should be. Why He's devoted to the Word of God and why we should be. And the Word of God provides so much for us. So if you will, we're beginning tonight in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 65. If you'll stand with me as we read through this section, and then we'll sit down and we'll talk a little bit about it. The psalmist writes, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." Let's pray. God, I pray that tonight, Lord, we would fall more in love with you and your word. Lord, that we would understand more fully that your word provides boundaries, your word provides guardrails for our life, and that your word is good, that you are good and you always do good. So Lord, we can be devoted to you and to your word. We can put it in practice in our lives and trust that it will always lead us to righteousness and to doing right and to living right. That even your discipline is an act of love and is to bring us back within the boundaries and the guardrails, of your word. So Lord, I pray tonight that we would fall in love with you, we'd be devoted to your word, and God, we would seek it out more than anything else in life. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So again, the writer is talking about how God has been faithful, even in discipline. And in this section, we see where God's word provides boundaries. It provides guardrails for our life, and that's one of the things that Rick has been talking about in Children's Church, the fact that God's Word provides guardrails or boundaries for our life. And he's teaching that to our children, but we as adults need to be reminded of that too. You know, oftentimes we read the Word of God and all we see is the don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. Thou shalt not, don't be mean, don't be ugly. And we see all these things and we see a bunch of rules. We got to keep the rules. And sometimes we think, man, rules are made to be broken. And all the fun in life is when you break the rules, isn't it? I mean, think about it. As a teenager, you think, man, the funnest part of your life was when you were doing what you knew you weren't supposed to. Till you got caught. Till the consequences of your rebellion show up, and usually in the form of a belt from my dad. It wasn't much fun then. But I also began, as I got older, begin to understand that the rules that mom and dad gave us, the curfews, the things that they told us, you know you're not supposed to do this and don't do this. And when we did it, we got a whipping. We got punished. We got whatever that they saw fit to do. As I got older, I began to see that those rules that mom and dad put in place were for my good. Not to keep me from having fun, but to keep me from experiencing some bad things in life that come along with bad decisions. And so as I got older, especially when I started having my own kids, I started seeing rules in a whole different light. And setting boundaries for our children and sticking to those boundaries. Well, see, and as much as I love my kids, God loves me much more. As much as I want to see my kids experience good things in life and avoid bad things in life, God wants that for me more. And He sees more and He knows more and He understands more. And so when I look at God's Word and I see what it says, hey, you're not supposed to do this, that He calls things sin, and He says, these are out of bounds, these are out of my will for your life and for what I want for you, it's not because He's trying to keep me from having fun. It's not because He's trying to keep me from experiencing some things that would just bring joy to my life. He's trying to prevent me from experiencing the bad consequences that come along with those momentary experiences of pleasure. They're fun for a little while, but they lead to destruction. And God's Word is creating boundaries for our life so that we don't experience those bad things. And the psalmist here he's starting out with the fact that, God, you've always been good to me. You've dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. He says, look, you have always been upright with me. You have dealt well with me. You've always been faithful. Everything that you've told me to do and the things that you've told me not to do were always for my good. You've dealt well with me in the past. So I should trust you for my future. I should trust you for the decisions that I make. I should look to your word because you've always dealt well with me in the past according to your word. When I obey your word, things go well. But he also, a little bit later, he says, look, the times that I didn't follow your word, I was afflicted. All right? So he's saying, look, you've always dealt well with me according to your word. You've always been faithful. He says, so teach me good discernment and knowledge. In the past, you've dealt well with me, and I need to remember that. I need to remember how when I've followed your word and I've applied it to my life and I've lived under its authority, things have gone well. When I got outside of its authority, started doing things on my own, doing things that I wanted to do because I wanted to experience this, or I thought this was right. I know this is what your word says, Lord, but, you know, that big three-letter word that messes everything up, gets us headed down a wrong way. I know this is what the Bible says, but bad choice right there. So he says, you've dealt well with me. So God, teach me good discernment and knowledge. In other words, God, you've dealt well with me in the past, so help me make good decisions in the future. Help me have good discernment. Now, what does good discernment mean? What is it to discern something? Help me make good choices. Sometimes it's not between what's bad and what's good. Sometimes we need to discern, we need to choose, we need to have a spiritual insight on what is best versus what is just good. Sometimes it's not a choice between good or bad. It's a choice between, okay, this is not bad. It's not in and of itself a bad thing, but what is best? And I need good discernment. God, I need to make right choices. I need to make well-informed decisions, and I need to have the knowledge in order to do that. Now, where does that come from? God's Word. We develop discernment and knowledge. We develop good discernment and knowledge through the Word of God. So he says, teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. He says, sometimes, God, you don't address things specifically. Sometimes things may come up in my life or circumstances happen in my future that I'll dig through the Bible. And say, it never talks about this. God didn't address this. God didn't address computers. God didn't address the internet. God didn't address all the things that may come up in modern society. But he gave principles that we need to look at. He gives us guiding principles in his word that are true no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the time, no matter what the era, no matter what the culture. God's principles, his guiding principles, will help us have good discernment, make good choices, and have right knowledge of what we should do. So he says, I believe in your commandments. Now, what does that mean that I believe in your commandments? Based on my past experience, based on what I understand about your word, it's not that I just believe they're your commandments. I believe that they will always lead me to righteousness. When I follow the word of God, when I look and I discover his guiding principles and I look for those guiding principles, and then I let my decisions be made based on those principles in God's words, those boundaries in God's word. When I follow those, I will always be led to do what's right. See, that's the beauty of the word of God. If we'll follow the word of God, it will always lead us to righteousness. It'll always lead us to do the right thing. And there's never a wrong time to do the right thing, as someone said. And so he says, look, open my mind, give me good discernment and knowledge, because I trust, I believe in your commandments. I know that they will always lead me to make right, righteous decisions. They'll never lead me to sin. They'll never lead me astray. They'll never lead me into places that is not where you want me to be, if I will just follow your word. So it creates those boundaries, and those boundaries are guardrails that will funnel us, that will move us to the place God wants us to be, that will guide us to the right decisions that need to be made in the circumstances of our life, in our relationships and job, whatever it is, every part of life. God's word will guide us to the right place, the right decision, the right will of God. Just like the one pastor friend of mine used this illustration, the Word of God are like the banks of the river. The banks of the river determine where the water flows. And eventually, it may twist and turn, it may even double back sometimes, but it will always lead to the ocean. And that's the same thing with God's Word. It's the guardrails of the road we're on, but it's also the banks of the river. And life is flowing through. And as long as we stay inside the banks of the river, it will always get us to the place that God wants us to be. God's plan, God's purpose for our life and for our family and for our relationships and for our job, for our work in the ministry, whatever it is, if we will stay within those boundaries, we'll get where God wants us to. Now, when life gets outside the boundaries, what happens? Destruction, flooding, hardship. And so as long as we stay within the boundaries, God will get us, his word will lead us to righteousness. So he's extolling the benefits of God's word and the boundaries that he creates. But he also says, hey, there's also times when God's word brings discipline. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. So there was a time when he knew what the right thing to do was, and he knew what the boundaries were. He knew what the guiding principle of God's Word was, but he decided to go outside of God's Word and do what he thought he wanted to do, to experience what he thought he wanted to experience. I got outside the boundaries before I was afflicted, I went astray. And when he got outside the boundaries, because God loves us, God disciplined him. He was afflicted. Outside the boundaries of God's Word, he was afflicted. That's the thing we've got to understand about discipline. God's discipline and parental discipline. Parental discipline comes from a heart of love. I'm enforcing the boundaries. You've got outside the boundaries. You've got outside where you know you're supposed to be. You've chosen to rebel, so you're going to be disciplined. Now, the purpose of discipline is what? To get us back within the boundaries. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I went astray, and you punished me, you disciplined me, you afflicted me because I got set outside the boundaries. You didn't do it because you hated me now. You didn't do it because you didn't love me anymore. It was just the opposite. You punished me, you disciplined me because you loved me and wanted me to get back to the place where righteousness is found, where life and true joy is found, is inside the boundaries of God's Word. So he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, because I learned my lesson, because I got outside of your word and you disciplined me, now I'm doing my best to stay inside your word. But now I keep your word. I've learned my lesson. You know, sometimes people are like me, kind of hard-headed. And sometimes it takes a long time for us to learn our lesson. But God's patient, and God won't let us be happy, and God will continue to discipline and continue to try and lovingly steer us back within the boundaries of His Word. Because in that place, inside the boundaries of God's Word, is where true life, true joy, true happiness, true purpose, true meaning, righteousness is found. And we avoid all the hardships and the consequences that come living outside the boundaries of God's Word. And so he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But after I was afflicted and I realized, hey, I'm being punished because I'm outside of God's Word, now I love your Word. I try to stay in your Word. I try to stay within the boundaries because of your loving punishment. And he says, verse 68, even though he's been punished, you are good and you do good. See, that's something that sometimes people need to be reminded of that are going through some difficult times. Sometimes it's because of decisions they've made, they've got outside the will of God, and they're being disciplined, they're being afflicted because of the decisions they've made. But we need to remind them that, hey, the discipline is because God loves you. Doesn't mean God doesn't like you anymore. Doesn't mean God hates you now. He loves you and He wants you to come back under His authority. He wants you to come back into the proper boundaries of life and relationships. And sometimes just life, tragic things happen in life and hardship. It doesn't mean God isn't good. See, the psalmist is writing here, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I love your law. And you're good, and you always do good. Even in discipline, it's a demonstration of God's goodness and God's love for us. And he says, look, you're always good. And man, we need to understand that God is always good. And his loving kindness is always extended towards us, even in our rebellion. He still loves us, and He's still good, and His discipline is evidence of that. So He says, you are good, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your boundaries. Why? So I can experience your goodness, so I can be like you. I want to be led to righteousness. I want to live a right life. I want to live under the authority of the one who sent His Son to die for me. I want to live under the authority of one that loves me so much, that's so good. I want to experience your goodness. I want to walk in your goodness. I want to demonstrate your goodness. I want to imitate your goodness. I want to be everything you want me to be. I want to experience everything you want me to experience, and I don't want to experience any of the bad stuff you don't want me to. Man, that's the heart of loving God and loving His Word and putting it into practice, is because I want to experience everything you have for me, and I want to avoid everything you don't want me to have. I want to stay away from those things. So teach me your statutes. Verse 69 and 70 is the contrast between those who are in rebellion and those who love the Word of God. It says, the arrogant have forged a lie against me. Those that think that they're in charge, those that have rejected your authority over their life, because I love you, they hate me. They've developed this lie. They're arrogant. They're trying to be in charge. They're trying to tear me down. They forged a lie against me. But with all my heart, I will observe your precepts, your instructions. In other words, they formed a lie against me, but God, it's your responsibility to take care of my reputation. That's the hardest thing in the world to do. It's to let God deal with the lies that people are telling against you. Because the most tempting thing to do is to get in their face and set them straight. Man, to just stand up and just bring fire and brimstone on them. And just to fight to protect your reputation. I've got to guard my reputation. I've got to defend my reputation. No, that's God's job. And that's what the psalmist is saying. They've developed a lie against me, but God, with all of my heart, I'm going to pursue your precepts. In other words, I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to do like the Word says, never repay evil for evil, but always repay evil with good. Whew, that's a hard one, isn't it? It says, never take vengeance, but leave room for God's vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. Man, it's hard to wait on the Lord to set them straight. It's hard to just leave your reputation in the hand of God. I've had to do that as a pastor. Man, it's been tempting when you know certain people are spreading lies about you and talking, trying to tear up the unity of the church. It is really hard not to get in their face or to stand in the pulpit and name names. I'm just going to tell you, it's hard. And when they're lying about you and your motives, it's hard not to just set them straight and to burn them down right in front of everybody. But that's not my responsibility. That's God's job. It's God's job to defend your reputation. Now, what your job is not to give them fuel for the fire. You've got to do your part to be upright. You got to do your part to stay within the boundaries and live righteously and don't give them ammunition to shoot back at you. That's your responsibility and my responsibility. But to defend our reputation is God's. And man, we have gotten, we many churches, many pastors, many people have gotten way outside of God's boundaries because they felt the need, their pride raised up, and they felt the need to defend their honor. I have no honor. It's God's job to defend anything that I have and my reputation. And it's God's job to defend yours. He says, they've created a lie against me, the arrogant have, but with all my heart, I'll observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean they fat like me? No. Their heart is covered with the fullness of selfishness. They're self-centered. It's all about me. Their heart is trying to elevate themselves and to beat other people down. Their heart is self-centered. It's full of pride, full of fat, full of selfishness. Their heart is full of fat, but my delight is in your law. My hope, my joy is in you, not in me. Not in my comfort, not in my reputation, not in my honor. It's in your honor and your reputation and your law. That's what I delight in. So I'm going to let you handle the arrogant. Verse 71. Man, this is a hard saying. It is good for me that I was afflicted. You ever look back on the hard parts of your life and you say, man, that wasn't fun. Didn't enjoy it. Don't want to do it again. But I'm glad I went through it. God taught me a lot in it. And that's exactly what the psalmist is saying. Hey, I've been through the affliction. I've been through the discipline. I've experienced the hardship. Don't want to do it again. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. But I'm glad I did. Glad I experienced it. Why? Because now I know your faithfulness. He says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. It's through the affliction of life, it's through the discipline of life, it's through the hardship of life that we grow in our understanding of the truth of God's Word, the faithfulness of God's Word, the power of God's Word, the strength and the truth of God's Word. Without hardship, without affliction, we'd never know who God really is. How trustworthy He is, how faithful He is, how strong He is, how loving He is, how patient He is, how forgiving He is. All of those things are learned through our affliction and our hardship. People say, well, if there's a loving God, why does He let all these bad things happen? Well, one way of looking at it is, have you ever met a child that the parents gave them everything they ever wanted? Never had to work for anything, never experienced any hardship, never any discomfort. If they wanted it, they got it, and their parents just gushed over everything that they could ever want. They provided and did all. What does that kid generally wind up being? A brat. They don't appreciate anything. They don't know what it is. They don't value anything because they never had to earn anything. They never experienced any hardship. So when life gets hard, they don't know how to deal with it. Well, oftentimes, if the truth is, if God never let us experience any bad things, we'd just wind up a bunch of spiritual brats, thinking God owed us, never appreciating, never knowing the value of the forgiveness we've been given, never knowing the value of the patience and the love and the grace and the mercy of God. We'd never know any of that stuff if we never had any hardship. And so the psalmist is saying, look, I look back on my affliction. I look back on the hardships of my life, and I'm thankful for them because I learned a lot about you through the difficulties of life. Therefore, basically, is what he's saying. Because I learned so much, because your word is always true and it creates boundaries and it guides us to righteousness, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. No amount of money is worth compromise. There's nothing that compares to the word of God. He says, because you have been faithful to your word, because I've discovered you're good and you always do good, that your boundaries set up guardrails in our life and they lead us to righteousness. They lead us to you. They lead us to what you have for us. And they help us to avoid all the bad things. Because of all of that, because of your faithfulness to your word is more precious to me than anything this world has to offer. It is good, and it always leads us to do good. And God's Word is amazing. That's why we need to study it. That's why we need to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against Him. That's why we need to stay within the boundaries, daily submitting ourselves to the authority of God and His Word over our life, to repent of our hard-headedness and our selfishness and our self-centeredness, and to surrender our lives to Him and to do everything we can to put that Word into practice, to stay within the boundaries, to do what He says do and to avoid those things He says stay away from, because He will always lead us to righteousness when we stay within the boundaries. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy. There's going to be some turbulence. There's going to be some rapids. There's going to be some waterfalls. There's going to be some turnbacks and doublebacks, and there's going to be some ways that we didn't expect to coming and some turns that happen in life, but they will always lead us to where God wants us to be. we'll stay within the boundaries. All right? Stay in God's Word. All right? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your great love. Thank You for Your Word. God, Your revelation to us of who You are.